Let's talk about it.
Hello and welcome back to Thick Radio, the podcast where we talk about gaining, feedism, and everything in their orbit. I'm James.
And I'm Tim, so let's get into it. Today we're welcoming to the show for the first time today we've got our friend Jay.
Hi.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Doing pretty good, yeah.
Good, and so glad to have you here. So glad we can finally get this on the books. We've been keen to talk to you for a minute, so listen. Thank you for setting aside some time in your diary to have a chat with us today. And we just want to ask here at the top of the episode, is there anything that you want to share with our listeners before we get started today?
Yes. First, I want to say thank you for letting me on the show. But a little disclaimer, because we are talking about South Africa. It is a very diverse country with culture, people of many different creeds and backgrounds. So I just want to say that my perception and experiences are a small percentage of the whole, and it doesn't make my experiences any less valid. It just makes me conscious of the many others that are out there that can also be expressed. So yeah, anyway, moving on.
No worries. And to that point, we had a similar conversation, you know, culture, talking about life in Norway. The opportunity to speak is always there to everyone. You know, it's not the case of, oh, we've already had the one person talking about Norway, we'll never talk about it again. The opportunity is there for everyone. And within that, we always do try to reach out to different people with those different experiences. And ultimately, we end up partnering with people who are the most responsive, as in they respond to the messages. So that's ultimately what that comes down to. But in that, regarding, you know, the South African lived experience, especially if you're a person who shares a particular creed or background or a unique lived experience, there's always space to have multiple voices and multiple perspectives. So again, if you are listening, and that is you, reach out to us at thethickradio@gmail.com and we'll have ourselves a good time. But until then, Jay, you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Fabulous. So listen, kicking things off, tell us about where you're from in South Africa. Like, what is the day-to-day culture like?
So I'm from Johannesburg, Gauteng, South Africa. So Johannesburg is a very financially orientated place compared to our other cities, like Cape Town, very well-known one. Which is more like a party touristy vibe, at least for the locals. Very expensive for us, though. So you come to Joburg to make money, to develop skills, to develop your portfolio, and then you leave. That is the goal of everyone in Joburg. For the most part, that haven't already, you know, set down roots. But yeah, I could say that Joburgs are the type that are pretty good people, although... you do get the brash types and the great types, as with anywhere else. When you come to Joburg during the December holidays, it's actually kind of funny because everyone chilas, they vie and go to the coastal cities, and it's like a ghost town. So don't come to Joburg for a holiday. Unless it's on business, a business vacation, if you will. So yeah, that's Joburg for you.
I appreciate hearing that. I think South Africa, and I say this lovingly as an Australian, I kind of see in a bit of a trifecta with Australia and New Zealand. Like, we are kind of three of the more populous, economically driven countries in the Southern Hemisphere. And I also just feel like there's like big cohorts of all three in London, especially. Like, it does kind of feel like you hear those typical accents and I have a sense of familiarity. Like, oh, I don't know you, but I'm going to vibe with you probably pretty well. That's culturally something our people all seem to have in common, is we all tend to be a little bit more on the laid back, beer in hand, cigarette on the porch, just kind of like, how's it? How are you? Like... chilly, yeah. Talking. Tim, I think you'll have a hoot and a holler when you finally manage to ship your fat ass to the Southern Hemisphere.
I'm just waiting for the ticket prices to drop. It's because I live in a city that has a really terrible airport, so it's not easy to get. It's not even easy to fly domestically from my airport, so
Sorry, man.
it is what it is. It's a good reason to get the hell out of this town.
Well, on that point, like, what is it like being in Joburg in terms of connectivity? Like, if you wanted to go on a holiday to Australia, to Europe, to America, to different places, like, how easy is it? Can you get direct flights from Joburg? Like, do you have to go to Cape Town first? Like, what is that vibe trying to get about in places?
There is a I don't know if it was ever, reported overseas, but in South Africa's airlines, I think it's called SAA or South African Airways, some real wacky stuff happened to their finances that things went under, that our basically we can't do international flights. So like, for example, when I wanted to go to Europe, we do Turkish Airlines, or British Airways, I believe. Or yeah, so that I went on Turkish Airlines when I went to Turkey, but that makes a little more sense, doesn't it? So in terms of connectivity, local, we do have our own little flights. Like it takes 2 hours to get from Joburg to Cape Town and vice versa. The other great city is Durban. It's more tropical there, if I can put it that way. It's way hot. It's very humid. And I have curly, thick hair, so when I'm in a humid climate, my hair just goes, it just blows up.
Gorgeous, full 70s afro. That's the fantasy right there. Memory of Australia's humidity and just how I don't have the kind of hair that goes thick and curly, but I do have the kind of pasty white Caucasian skin that gets all fried and crispy.
Oh my
Looks like I've fallen into the vat fryer at KFC. There are probably places I could go in Africa, the continent in general, but South Africa as well, where I would probably look like one of those people, like under the parasol, ghostly white, because I'm just slathered in like a thick layer of like a combination of
God.
like sunscreen and clay, just like whatever's going to protect this ridiculously sensitive meat suit from the sun.
Try some zinc oxide. I don't know if they still sell that, but zinc oxide is like the perfect sunblock
Mean like the
because it
sun.
does not allow anything to go through. Like it is a literal shield against the skin. But I don't know if it's still marketed as a sunscreen like it used to be.
Well, when I inevitably come visit you in South Africa, I'm just going to show up as like a random blue person, just covered in like that's the only color zinc that they still sell, and I'm just like head to toe coated, and you're like, are you
At
all right?
least
And I'm like,
it'll be easy to see at
Exactly.
the
I can't twist too
airport,
far in any direction, otherwise it'll crack. And then it will fall off my body, so I must move very
least. So
carefully. But I'm curious to ask, like, what do you feel like is the biggest misconception people have about South Africa?
biggest misconception. When we talk to foreigners, engage from Americans to people from India to people from the UK, anywhere really, they're very shook to find out that South Africa is not a rural country where we live in mud huts and ride rhinos to school or work or elephants. granted, we do have. Well, it's like people believe we have lions and tigers and bears, and it's not true. We don't have bears in the street. So we joke saying we ride all those animals to like those different places, but the thing is that we actually use cars to go everywhere, lots of cars, that I think all those animals would be eliminated very quickly with the amount of traffic going in and out. But we do have cases where they escape the local wildlife rehabilitation centers or game parks. They end up terrorizing the local communities a little bit, end up killing a few local farm animals, and then they get neutralized This only happens maybe once a year. I'm not wrong. We did have one this year in February, and last year we had, I think, two that escaped. Yeah.
Once again, I draw parallels to Australia because people love to be like, "Oh, the kangaroos to scale." No, we drive cars.
It's like we have full cities and
Yeah.
everyone just thinks we live in these little tiny huts everywhere. It's so funny.
It's very the whole thing about like, do the African children still need shoes? And then it's like, no, stop it. There are actually like too many shoes now. Like there are there not like entire landfills filled with those like stu who was the guy, Tim, who was the guy? Who was the guy that like came up with this fucking shoe bullshit?
Oh, I don't remember. The only one that I remember who used to do all those PSAs about starvation in Africa was Sally Struthers, and I think she's dead. But I don't know who the guy was.
I need to Google this and find out the exact details, but I swear I saw this on like a Tumblr thread years ago. It was like somebody from Africa who was fully like, this needs to stop. This guy who like half made it on a reality competition was like, do you know what? I did a missions trip to Africa and I realized that what they need most, more than anything, is shoes. And so if you've, I think it's, is it Tim's? Tim's or Tam's or some kind of bullshit. And it's like, if
Oh
you
my
buy one
word.
pair of these shoes, we'll donate a pair of shoes to a starving African child in need. Because, of course, that was the meme, right? Like, a starving African child, what does it need? Shoes. Like, come on.
That's the other thing though, is that they immediately think that Africa's one country,
Oh, yeah,
like
because.
the continent.
Yeah.
Like there's a shit ton of countries spread throughout. Off the top of my head, I'm not going to name a lot, but like Botswana, Zimbabwe, Mozambique. We have countries in South Africa, like that are surrounded by South Africa, like Lesotho
Lesotho,
and Swaziland. Yeah, well, we pronounce it Lesotho.
right? Lesotho, right.
Yes.
But yeah, like Zambia, Namibia, Egypt, Hilir people, like one of the greatest ancient civilizations that ever freaking lived, literally African.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like over 50 countries from memory. Like, I don't know. It's that thing of, I know, like, people don't know things because why would you know unless you Google, unless you try to find out, unless you go and look? But again, it's also very, like, I don't know.
That's yeah. I do have to say that South African history and culture, and when I say culture, I'm also talking about all our current existing culture. That's all our media that we generate and whatnot. Doesn't exit South Africa terribly often, which is why we get very excited when we get a South African that, hits the big silver screen, or like Charlize Theron, or Trevor Noah having so much success. Although now in recent times, Charlize Theron has somewhat come across as dismissing her South Africanness and embracing her Americanness, and the South Africans haven't taken very well to
See what happens when
that.
you stop doing period pieces? Back when she was only appearing in films set in the 1940s, she was doing just fine, but now she's getting a little too highfalutin.
So, gosh, I forgot what the question was now
Oh, we were
entirely.
talking misconceptions about South Africa, and sort of like those memes that come out of South Africa, like what is known about South Africa. And in a way, I agree with Tim. You know, there's not necessarily so much specific that comes out of South Africa that I think is so specifically well known. I think like what we were referencing before, oftentimes Africa as a conglomerate is just kind of treated as one and the same. And so people may not even necessarily realize that something that is South African is not also simultaneously from somewhere else. You know what I mean?
But to touch on something major about apartheid, so that was a large number of oppressive years that has scarred the country like bad. There's a lot of very oppressive systems still in place that is marginalizing a majority, with a white owned minority. in a lot of areas. There's still a lot of equality issues. We have a very progressive constitution that actually protects LGBTQ plus, but how do I put it? Doesn't mean that it stops the crime from happening. It's just, you will be protected by the law to an extent, I suppose. But like, we South Africans are very sensitive about apartheid. A lot of people, accept it and work in improving and making it better in a lot of ways. And a lot of people are still holding on to a lot of resentment. Some people, well, the oppressed naturally have a valid resentment. But the oppressor resents, or the former oppressor, if I can put it that way, does resent still in a lot of ways. And I guess we're all still trying to heal from, a lot of negative thinking. It just goes to show how it can impact a country and everyone. It impacts everyone. And you don't think it's going to affect you, but it does. So, yeah, don't do dumb crap like that.
Now, can I just ask really quickly, is your dog snoring in the background by any chance?
Oh, I'm sorry, my
No.
pug.
I thought that
It's
was
so
your
funny.
stomach. I was like, is he hungry?
I was like, this fat boy
Yeah.
hungry.
No,
This is the
that's
dog,
the
and she.
pug. She's got separation anxiety, so she kind of never leaves me alone. But I love her very much.
Wow. Listen,
Yeah,
listen.
I'm sorry if it messes with
No,
the
not at all. Not at all. I was just like, this boy is like, did he not eat before he came on this call? No, that is totally fine. Totally fine. Now, I want to
Yeah.
circle in here. Like, what is the culture in South Africa like when it comes to, being bigger, being fat, becoming fat, body positivity, and gaining?
Basically, again, because we have so many different groups, yeah, everyone has a different opinion. It depends where you come from. And I'm going to speak from where I come from, and that's from an Afrikaans heritage with English, actually, half of my family's English, half is Afrikaans. So, in any case, the Afrikaans side, it depends. In Afrikaans families, we have overweight men. And usually overweight men, you'll always find a fatty in an Afrikaans family. Well, like from my experience, my family, the women were often thin and had unfortunately eating disorders. That is the history. And the men too, but in a different way. It was encouraged different for men because being bigger, not just fat, but muscle, like general stature, meant, hey, he's good for rugby, or he's good for, physical force, masculine. Ooh. Yeah, there's a lot of emphasis on very traditional values, if I can put it that way. I don't know if it's the same for a lot of other families, but I suppose that's my experience, at least.
Again, things I find curious to link to the Australian and Kiwi experience, because I certainly think bigness in our cultures comes to this idea of playing rugby and playing football, playing sports is a very big thing for bigness. I don't know how many other cultures kind of celebrate that in a sense. But even within Australia, that bigness is specifically for rugby. We have the AFL, the Australian Football League, and those dudes are basically glorified soccer players. Like, they have some amount of muscle, but not much. They are mostly lean, running machines. Big boy rugby aficionados, far less common. Far less common, and does not get pushed anywhere near as much. Tim, I know that in your country they probably like inject children with roids from the age of 2. So can you comment on this? Is there a similar embiggening in the American culture?
In terms of like sports or just in general.
Obviously, in general, your people have this mentality of you can eat the earth because you are so
Oh,
fat, but I'm
well,
yours. Yes.
I mean, like obesity in America, it's like they're always calling you like, oh, this is the biggest problem in the country is obesity because it leads to all this other stuff, because they're always linking it to like heart disease and diabetes and all this other shit. And yet food is just everywhere. There is no shortage of fast food available. There's no shortage of grocery stores and little markets and things like that. There's no shortage of all you can eat buffets. So yeah, we're just like We're hypocritical about it, like we are about everything else. I mean, they tell you, oh, you have to maintain your weight so that you don't get health problems later in life, but why don't you stop at Golden Corral while you're at it and have yourself all you can eat for $12.95? Like it's just a huge contradiction.
And I suppose on top of that aspect of like fatness, like what are the resources like in South Africa when it comes to being plus size, like access to healthcare, clothing, all of those bits and pieces?
South Africans, well, the South African healthcare system, although questionable in some ways, has supported the population heavily. And pardon the pun. But, like, essentially, well, was that a pun? I'm not going to think about that. Essentially, there is free healthcare in South Africa. We do have free healthcare, but the cost is time. So I am very sorry for that overweight person that is going to spend 6 hours in a line, having to stand, is what I'm saying. They will get the care they need, but they are going to suffer. So we do have things like insurance where you can get a medical aid and sort that out. But that the back to the topic. Other accommodations, ex other than free healthcare, that does cater to obesity. I would say that we don't, well, like I said, we drive cars everywhere. You as an overweight person wouldn't have to worry about walking too much from place to place, unless you rely a lot on the public transportation, like taxis. But even then, like walking from point A to point B versus going from point A to taxi rank to point B is naturally a shorter distance overall, which has contributed to our population actually being more overweight over time. I think we're pretty up there in how obese the overall population is. I think I had the statistics here. I think like 60, okay, so 68% of women are obese and 31% are men. So take that from that what you will. I just Googled that. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. Blame Google. But yeah, so I wouldn't say there's a lot of other accommodations. I mean, fashion is not really something that's very focused on for a lot of overweight. Maybe for women, more women. But for men, it's sorry, fat bitch, you're gonna have to go to the big and tall store and get a plain brown shirt. that has a very weird cut. So yeah, not form fitting at all. So sorry, that's the reality of South Africa, unfortunately. A lot of our media and stuff is pretty westernized, so we do have a lot of Western ideals regarding image. Yeah, but naturally cultures can influence that as well as eating habits, fast food, blah blah blah. But I'm rambling. You guys need
Totally
to talk.
fine, totally fine. I think I always say something similar when we come to this point in these culture episodes is that it is important to understand like what is the accessibility like in terms of life for obese people around the world. Accessibility is not just I can walk through a doorway because it's wide enough, it's also do I have access to clothes that fit my body? If I don't have access to clothes that fit my body, my ability to access the outside world is severely limited. If I do not have access to healthcare, my ability and access to the continuation of life is limited, right? So questions about access I think are very, very important to cover, especially if there are, especially in the advent of the internet, more like online services. Like a few people have touted that the Amazon plus size selections are actually not that bad, all things considered. So aspects like that might be worth considering, especially for yourself, Jay, as you continue to grow. Worth considering what where one might purchase a shirt in your size. I believe, judging by my ability to visualize you here on this call, I believe you're about the size of a mini refrigerator at this stage.
Well, my stats are 6 foot 1 at 130 kilograms at the moment.
And let me tell
I
you,
mean,
viewer and listeners, when we get to the part where he gives his social medias, it's worth checking out because this boy is stacked.
so I'm curious, how do you view the gaming culture in these more like, I suppose, like specifically Western places. And not that South Africa isn't probably included as like a traditional Western country, but I guess in a place that is more gaining populated, like America, like the United Kingdom, how do you view the gaining culture in these places?
So, like, it looks like such great communities there that I envy, like the way you guys can get together and hang out. Also in the UK, you know, it looks like a lot of fun to connect with people who I guess you can say are like you in a space where you don't identify with a lot of people that share the same, you know, experiences that you have as a gainer, for example. So I suppose I envy that a lot. Yeah, we don't have a lot of gainers in South Africa that are showing their faces. I mean, they're probably somewhere out there, but like if you go onto Grammar and you look at South Africa, you'll see that we have, and they're there, and they're great guys there on there as well. I don't talk to a lot of people because I keep to myself a lot. With the people I have engaged with, they've been great. But I don't know. I think we're all just very in our own lives as well, or like in our own bubbles. There's some who may want to connect, and I do hope they connect. But we don't really engage with one another on that level, like, you know, with Gromovs or Grom of the Seas, or if I have to do that, I have to buy like 5 plane tickets to just get there.
Again, that point about access, I think, is very important to consider. Many of us have that privilege, even if we don't necessarily work careers that allow us to afford travel so easily. The fact that we live in places where maybe there are planes that would take us more effectively and more directly to larger locale spots. I've talked about this a number of times. The privilege of living in London is people come here. I oftentimes don't need to make plans to travel to meet people because they just happen to pass through here. And it's like, oh, if you have an afternoon or an evening, which most people will have something spare, why not meet up with a gainer? Go out and have dinner. How lovely, be sociable, you know? There is
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Tim, you talk a little bit about how being in Cleveland, there's no international flights, but I mean, five
Well,
plane tickets just to go on a cruise.
there's just no reason for somebody to come to Cleveland. That's the problem. So there's really only two reasons you would come here. One is because you're sick, because we have the best hospital system. And two, if you're doing some kind of business something. I mean, I don't even know what, but they're always trying to do some kind of development crap here in Cleveland. So those are the only two reasons anybody ever comes here, unless you're a flight attendant. So I don't really get the opportunity to, like, people aren't really coming through the area. Sometimes people will arrive in like adjacent areas because of family for the holidays, but when people are traveling for that, they don't usually have a ton of free time to like break away and go do their own thing. They're usually with their family the entire time. So sometimes I see some people who are sort of like maybe 30, 40 minutes away, but they're going to be busy the entire time they're here. So.
Now, I want to ask you, Jay, about the most important part of these culture episodes. Bugger learning anything. Let's talk about the food, bitch.
Oh, yes.
I want you to tell Tim, tell the listeners, what is the most iconic, what is your favorite South African snack, drink, and meal?
You can never go wrong. Okay, so first drink, right? I'm a South African that loves a glass of Amarula. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. So Amarula is a fruit that grows in South Africa that when it becomes overripe, it falls off and ferments on the ground, and local animals end up eating it and actually becoming lit. So what they did is they take this fruit and it becomes this like delicious creamy liqueur. Like, have you had Baileys Irish Cream?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
It's like that, but I want you to think more almost caramel-ish, but like go more like slightly fruity, caramelish flavor almost. I don't know how to describe it. And it's also, I don't know, it's addictive and it's also fattening. So
Oh.
If you ever come, we'll get you a bottle to
Well,
take
ship
home.
me a case then, damn it.
I'll check how much it costs.
Yeah, when you said alcoholic and fattening, Tim's eyeballs just like expanded and fell out of his skull to make way
God.
for.
I mean, y'all know I'm practically Bender from Futurama, right? So, like, anything that's gonna get me buzzed and fatten me up, like, yeah.
Yeah, but you're also a slut, so it's more like bend her over. Am I right, ladies?
You're such an asshole.
Yeah, okay. Speaking of which, okay, so this real quick. The other day, my partner is home and he's like flicking through Netflix and sorry, just looked at me. He's flicking through Netflix, and I want to be very clear about this. My response was lightning fast. He's flicking through Netflix and he says, oh, I don't know what to watch. And so I just called out, you'll wait. And I thought that was very funny. Just the look, just the daggers he gave me, like, because he was also having like a Kit Kat too. Oh, anyways, so Amarula, give it
Yeah,
one
so
sentence.
that's the drink. Favorite snack, and very few South Africans will disagree, but biltong is like prime snacking.
That's like a
It's like jerky, if I can describe it compared to biltong, is much sweeter. That tastes more like us. It's very sweet compared to biltong. I've had jerky before. Going back to favorite foods, favorite food is definitely a braai, where we cook meat on charcoals or wood, preferably wood braais with a lot of people. You fry steaks, you fry what we call boerewors, lamb chops. Definitely not a vegetarian type, but yeah, that's my response.
I mean, all of that sounds fantastic. And for the listeners, is a braai in any way comparable to like an Aussie barbecue is very the exposed grill top, oftentimes that kind of like, not serrated. What am I thinking? Like exposed wire type of grill situation where there's stuff underneath it. You can have the flat top grill as well, but like things that tend to like, if it's like a steak, goes on top of this like metal wire almost. Coals or flames underneath, gets those like little blackened lines as it cooks, all the fat and drips off into the flame type of thing. Like, how does a braai function comparison to a barbecue?
So I was told that barbecues are very are much more like gas, like you do barbecues with like a gas thing,
Propane.
propane.
Yeah, I sell propane and propane accessories.
we strictly either use coal or wood, but I think a lot of braai masters will be very cross if you use coal and rather just braai with wood. It'll take longer, but the meat will be delicious. Yeah. Yeah, so pop a garlic bread there on the braai as well, and some tin foil. Yeah.
Honestly, delicious, delicious. We're gonna have to do all of that. Now, when it comes to TV, because I know you say that like not a lot of South African characters or people leave South Africa, but what about like inside of South Africa? Like when you were growing up, were there any iconic actors, comedians, singers, cartoon characters, just anyone that you might have looked at as a kid and gone, "Ooh, this is fat, and I am fascinated by this." Anything like that happening in South Africa?
Oh, where we just have something that inspires the fat like admiration, basically, is what you're asking. Yeah, okay, cool. So I gotta say that you guys, it was Cartoon Network, y'all. Johnny Bravo was my
Yeah,
awakening.
Johnny Bravo. Quite a few episodes where he would get fat. There was more than one.
And it definitely influenced me in a lot of ways. And just from then on, was looking for that same rush.
You know, we have a tendency when we're watching dinner, when we're having dinner, because we've got Disney Plus, we're like, do you know what? We're kids of the 90s and the early 2000s. Let's revisit all the shit we used to watch when we were kids. And so we're watching That's So Raven at the moment. And it's been so interesting to point out just how many instances that there are like fat references. Like in a recent episode we watched, there was like a thing with the dad had made this like artichoke and like sweet potato thing, and it was all sloppy and on the plate. And then like the son Corey had these like stretchy pants because the joke was he was gonna eat a lot, but they ended up like shoving it all down his pants. And we just kind of looked at each other like oh, like gunge fetish. Like the amount of like emphasis where there's like a quicksand or like a
There's a lot of like,
transformation or like a
yeah.
body swap or like smelly feet or like smelly food. Like it's just very interesting how often these like make an appearance in our
Oh,
childhood.
yeah. Oh, yeah. I can name one like Sabrina, for example, where Harvey was fattened up by the witch in the clouds, for example. I can think of, I don't know if y'all remember the show Cat Dog, where like, Cat just scored this major record deal and like became like obese. Fuck.
With dog's head being between his legs like a really awkwardly placed chode.
Yeah.
Like,
I
yeah.
never understood the point of that cartoon.
Yeah, it was bizarre, but they were that certainly ticked boxes for people, but I definitely also noticed a certain I want to say personal insert in a lot of cartoons from some of these writers slash animators. So you know what? Sure, it did impact me. I'm gonna
You
lie.
know what? If you were one of these writers from back in the 90s and early 2000s who wrote these episodes, please talk to us because I think it would be really interesting to interview you and figure out what the fuck was that. Like,
Is that the agenda?
you know what I mean? Is that on the
Like,
homo schedule?
I don't remember that being on the minutes list from the last meeting.
Perhaps it was on the bitinerary? I want to ask here, because I know you obviously express it like your experience is yours in regards to South Africa, but of course, there's a lot of different languages that comprise what could be considered localized to South Africa, right? Like, I think it includes things like Zulu, Swazi, Afrikaans, Sepedi, Sesotho, Setswana. And I think, because in South Africa, you've got some click languages, right? Like, it's not
Yeah,
it's
so
pronounced
like,
Xhosa.
yeah, so it would be, yeah, like that. It would be Sesotho. And what was that other one? Swanish. What?
Like Swazi, Zulu, Sepedi, I think is another one.
I need to read it. Sorry, I'm a bad South African. I don't know all the 11 languages off by heart. Sorry.
You're good. My question was basically going to be like, I don't know, because like in Australia, they don't teach any indigenous languages in schools, but in New Zealand, they teach Te Reo Māori in a lot of public schools to the point now where like a lot of the young generation is kind of trying to bring it back into common parlance and revive the language. And I know that in Ireland they do that a little bit as well with Gaelic or Gaelic.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, if there's a similar situation in South Africa, and if there's like in one of the non-English languages, a way that South African gainers might converse with one another in a way where they're like, ooh, bitch, you're looking thick and juicy, you're looking gorgeous, fat and plump and cute, like is there something like that, or maybe not really?
You know, we are taught to, well, like in my education, we had Afrikaans and Zulu in our curriculum. So I did learn some Zulu. Like in primary school, it didn't continue in high school. Unfortunately, Afrikaans did. I did grow up in an Afrikaans, lineage, but we spoke English in my house because my mother wanted me to be a worldly, like a person. So speak the language of everyone else at the time. So yeah. But it's like in Afrikaans, like you can like gab and play around with friends and use the right phrasing. I mean, we don't really have a specific phrase. Well, I don't know of a specific phrase that pertains to like obesity or fatness, or I know like one that says like so it's Afrikaans. Also let me know if I'm jumping the gun in any way.
No, please share it with us.
Okay, cool. So it's called a magies vol oogies toe, which is Afrikaans for stomach full, eyes closed, which is essentially
That's now that's the tea. Can we talk about like I've eaten so much, it is now time
to
to sleep.
sleep. Yeah, so that's like a that's a common Afrikaans phrase. we have a lot of more vulgar things that I don't think I should speak on the internet, but like yeah, I'm very curious to know what the other cultures have to say, because it'd be fun to know as well.
Well, there we
Yeah,
go.
there's so many different things that you can say just in like American English, like oh God, you're so fucking fat. You can call him a fat ass, fatty, chubby. And then we'll use all these other words that aren't even English, like gordo, zoftig. Like we just come up with all this other shit. Like there's just this. There's probably you could fill a dictionary probably with the euphemisms for fat in the United States.
Yeah, someone should write something like that. I don't know. Maybe someone is writing something like that. Tim, there's this word I discovered. I don't know how you feel about this, but the word is blubber. Does that word conjure
You
up any?
know that that's a triggering word for me.
I was about to say, does that
I
conjure any feelings for you?
don't know
Blubber.
why. I don't know why that turns me on, but it's just something about it. I guess the image it conjures.
Yeah, I think for me it's like fat boy, fat ass, like very that kind of like bullying jock type of sitch.
Yeah, jabbing kind of stuff.
Also, I
But
have such an affinity for any gainer that tattoos his fatness somewhere on his body. Like the gainers that have like fat boy on their belly or fat boy on their ass or something else that really like just immediately indicates them as like this is my chosen path in life and I am willing to advertise it to literally everyone. I'm like that's a fucking hero to me.
maybe we'll do that if we get to a certain number of subscribers.
I've wanted something. I don't know what to come up with that is vague enough that I can point at it and say, oh, that's this thing and like that be the end of it, but also, be a clear reference to the fact that I'm a gainer. I haven't
I think I'd
discovered.
just get like fat boy tattooed on an ass cheek, like off to the side or something, like something that looks like I've been branded, I think would be really fun.
That could be fun.
I want to ask here, like, what changes would you personally like to see in the South African gaining community?
I'd like more of us to show up. Like there's a few of us, but like comparatively to everywhere else, it's not a lot. Compared to just going on Grindr standard, lots of guys, plenty. Well, I suppose if you exhaust the location or your general area by that point, then yeah, but like no shaming here. But like with the gaining community, I'd like to see more gainers and encouragers, like just like make a profile, show themselves, connect with someone. It's extremely isolating, and very invalidating. You doubt yourself a lot when you don't have that local community to, let you know like, hey, you are okay for like, being, a gainer or an encourager or what have you. But yeah, that I suppose that's what I'd like in the community is more of us, but we are doing our best. Yeah.
That's fair. And again, something I can sadly relate to with growing up in Perth. It's one of the most isolated cities in the world. It was the kind of place where it didn't matter, like the length of the city, because most people clung suburbanly to the coastline, is probably about like 100 kilometers, something like that, either direction with the city in the middle. It didn't matter which end you were at, the growler display would remain the same. It was the same. group of people on Growler. So
Yeah.
Grindr was obviously better. Scruff, maybe. But Growler, terrible. Bigger City, even worse. Grommer, don't even ask.
Yeah.
It's hard when there is not enough to constitute a community. And this does seem to be one of our themes for this season, this conversation around community. It's so important, and we need to find more ways, I think, to try and build community other than what we're doing at the moment. Because clearly, if people aren't responding, maybe we need to try something different. But this is a call out to South African gamers. If you are listening, let's build some community for people and let's have more people on the program to talk about their experiences. But I want to ask you here, Jay, as like a final question, is there anything about your experience as a gamer from South Africa that we haven't talked about yet today that you would like to share with the listeners?
I don't have anything like specific that I can think of at the moment, other than don't be so shy. There are people who want to connect. It may not always be me. You probably just caught me on a bad day. But others would be like, we just need to reach out more. It's lonely out here, So connect, guys. That's all I gotta say.
A very fair point. And Jay, I just want to say thank you again for your time today. Now, where can our listeners find you online?
You can follow me on Grammar as Tabia B. I do have an Instagram. I do have a bit of a rule though, is that I gotta see some form of content or following. Because actually that's what I'd like to say to the gaming community is stop stealing people's pictures. That's all I gotta say. Tubby OB, just find me there.
Well, there you go. Go follow Jay at Tubby B with respect to privacy and not being a cunt. But that's it for another week here on Thick Radio. Please remember to like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a good review. Now, listen, if you liked this episode, the podcast, or just us in general, share it with your friends and encourage them to tune in. You can find me on Instagram and Blue Sky at Stanham.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at Thicky Mouse. You can also look us up on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Thick Radio or at our website at podpage.com/thickradio. If you want us a bit of voice note or become a financial supporter of the show, you can find the links in the show notes. And you can also write to us at thethickradio@gmail.com. So until next time, bye fats.
Bye, fats.
Bye fats.
Let's talk about it.
Thick Radio is a Patreon and Anchor app podcast produced by Stan and Vicky Mouse.
Mixed and mastered by Stan.
Our artwork is provided by Lokitu.
Our theme song is provided by Bonfire Cream.